This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Rise above and be in control with today's business headlines, driven by Volvo Cars.
And it's 11 minutes till 9 a.m. This is the Morning Run right here on BFM 89.9. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. It is a lovely Friday, November 9th. Hope you got big plans for the weekend here. Now, but before that, let's give you some water cooler talk. Time now for a look at the top business stories of the day. We got this news out of Bloomberg that came out early this morning about 5 a.m. Malaysian time in relation to the 1MDB saga. Very fascinating development here. So in the lead up to this story, we had been asking, right, you know, how much did Goldman Sachs know about 1MDB, right? Because we have seen the indictment of two former Goldman bankers. You got Roger Ng, you got Tim Leisner. They've been indicted by the DOJ. But how much of the upper echelons, the C-suite at Goldman Sachs then, how much did they know? According to this Bloomberg story, guess what? Seems like the stench from 1MDB reached all the way to the top. Former Goldman Sachs CEO, the then CEO, Lloyd Blankfein, reportedly helped forge ties between Malaysia and 1MDB. And this is according to sources who spoke to Bloomberg. There was a 2009 meeting that was apparently attended by Lloyd Blankfein himself.
Yeah, so, I mean, the official DOJ indictment has two Goldman's individuals, as you say, Roger and Tim Leisner. But the Financial Times, I think, quite rightly pointing out that in any bank, there is a whole approval process where the various departments are concerned to get approval for disbursing money, whether you're a sovereign state government, state country, or whether you're a company. And some of the monies involved with Malaysia's and 1MDB was basically in the billions of dollars. How can the CEO not know? And as it turns out, he did know, so Lloyd Blankfein, the same CEO that presided over Goldman Sachs at the height of the global financial crisis. As we know, Goldman Sachs was an instrumental, pivotal figure and player in the whole global financial crisis in terms of the derivatives products that brought the entire financial system to its knees. So we know that the Department of Justice has indicted Roger Ng and Tim Leisner. Tim Leisner himself has pleaded guilty. He pleaded guilty to bribing officials to get the bond deals done. And he's also said that they did bond deals or debt arrangements because it generated higher fees for Goldman's, right? So to what extent is Lloyd Blankfein and the other 20 or 30 other individuals in Goldman Sachs culpable for the whole 1MDB fiasco?
Right. You mentioned the fees, $600 million US dollars. That was how much Goldman reaped from the bond deals with 1MDB. And the stage was set at a 2009 meeting between Blankfein and the then Prime Minister, Dato Sri Najib Razak himself as well. And this is apparently referenced in court documents, although in the court documents, it was an unidentified individual. Turns out, according to sources who spoke to Bloomberg, that unidentified individual was Lloyd Blankfein himself. That meeting was held at the New York Four Seasons Hotel, and that meeting was set up by Joe Lo and Tim Leisner. So all these names being attached, you know, and imagining them all in that one setting there, yeah, kind of, very hard to ignore the correlation there, right?
You know the problem with the bonds that Goldman's arranged for Malaysia, right? Goldman's bonds for Malaysia might have raised the country, us, $6.5 billion, but the kind of coupon rates that we paid, 650 basis points or 6.5% a year, is the kind of borrowing rate that is only reserved for the most impecunious nations. Why is a sovereign nation with an A3 rating from Moody's paying 6.5% a year? And we didn't even get all of the money. We only got 90% of the money. And, it's wrong on so many counts. Was Lloyd Blankfein, in other words, complicit in what was essentially one of the biggest, if not the biggest, financial scandals in history?
Yeah, certainly a black eye for this illustrious bank.
And should Goldman Sachs continue to operate? Should its license be revoked?
Right, and then I guess from a Malaysian perspective, you know, ultimately, can we see some, if not all, of that $600 million US dollars in fees that they made, will it be returned to us? I think that is a big question. I think the Minister of Finance, Saudara YB Lim Guan Eng, also addressing comments made by the current CEO, David Solomon. He just took over, I think, a few weeks ago. But there are some allegations that he may have been in the know as well, right? Saying, well, if you are pained by these allegations, then maybe you should ease those pains and give some of that money back. All right, in other Goldman-related news, this is carried in today's dailies. You got the former Goldman executive, Roger Ng, and his family have reportedly agreed to surrender about $29 million US dollars linked to 1MDB. They are reportedly going to surrender that to the Singapore authorities. But again, you know, Singapore authority is great, but then what about us here in Malaysia?
Yeah, so Tim Leisner was the chairman of Southeast Asia for Goldman's. Roger Ng was the head of Southeast Asia Sales and Trading when he resigned in 2014. He apparently was the central player in facilitating one of the two or three bond deals that Goldman's did with Malaysia. One of them is this $1.75 billion bond deal, dubbed Project Magnolia, 2012, May. So far, Roger Ng has been arrested in Malaysia. He's actually returned 40 million Sing, as you said, to Singapore's government, which would eventually return back to Malaysia. But he's fighting extradition to the US. He doesn't want to go to America. You know why? The music there, very loud. Very, very loud.
Got it. All right. So again, I'm sure, once again, I've been saying this many, many times. This is the story that keeps on giving. So I'm sure this will not be the last we hear of 1MDBN, potentially Goldman as well. All right. Moving on, we have this news from Moody's Investors Service. They have affirmed Petronas's credit rating at A1, but they have changed the outlook for Petronas down to negative. Before this, it was stable, now down to negative. Why? According to their senior vice president, they say this is because the financial profile of Petronas may deteriorate if the government continues to ask Petronas to keep dividend payments high. Now, obviously, this is coming on the back of that 30 billion ringgit extra one-off dividend that is that has been mentioned in Budget 2019. This is to help the Malaysian government pay off those GST refunds.
That's right. So why this matters is because Petronas's bonds and Petronas's rating is basically a reflection of Malaysia's ratings. Mm. If Petronas's outlook is downgraded, so might Malaysia's. And it's really because of the oil and gas contributions to the coffers. We know that Petronas, it was at least 1/6 of Budget 2019 in terms of its revenue contributions. But we also know that the 30 billion ringgit that Petronas gave to the government was one-off in nature because it was meant to refund GST and income tax refunds. The issue is because if Malaysia does not sort out a long-term sustainable and structural revenue generator for its coffers outside of GST, then that one-off nature might repeat in future. Now, that's the big concern. And you know what? On Monday, I speak to Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng.
That's right.
This is precisely one of the things I'll be asking him, if not the first thing.
Yeah, you know, because, you know, that decision to remove GST, really, okay, I mean, I understand the rationale, at least from a political perspective, but from a fiscal perspective, has it been worth the cost, given the signals that have come out from the sovereign credit ratings agencies so far, right? Now, to be fair to Petronas, though, according to Moody's, they say that Petronas can support these dividend payments.
And it should be one-off in nature?
Hopefully.
It should be.
Yeah, it should be, hopefully, right? But then they say that a further increase in regular dividend payments cannot be ruled out, especially if there's an increase in government's funding needs. So, I mean, look at that fiscal deficit. It's widened, right? 3.7% this year, expected to narrow. Now, if it's going to narrow, I mean, it obviously implies that they are spending beyond their means there. And also, could these dividends, those higher dividends from Petronas, actually play into how the fiscal deficit is calculated moving forward? But looking at the sovereign credit rating picture, again, ratings agencies are pretty cautious over the rise of the country's debt.
Yeah, officially nearer 51% of GDP on a direct basis. When you compare, when you include contingent liabilities, that number rises to nearly 80%, mm-hmm. Which is a lot. And, you know, Malaysia has this timetable to get to fiscal parity. 2020 was the original deadline. It's not going to make it now. 2020-something, at least, or even 2030. Who knows, right?
Yeah, well, we'll see, right? So according to some of these sovereign credit rating agencies, Malaysia's debt affordability is among the weakest of A-rated sovereigns, something to keep a close eye on. All right, we are about a couple of minutes out of the 9 a.m. news bulletin, and after that, we'll take a look at the local boards. So stay tuned right here to The Morning Run on BFM 89.9.
Keeping you on track for peak business performance with the new Volvo XC40, the expression of innovation. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.